I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Oak Ridge Schools Board of Education, regular Board of Education meeting. And if my phone rings and I have to stop, Ms. Agle is in Michigan, and she's trying to call in so she can be part of the board meeting. And don't know whether it's the weather or because Michigan is so far away, or it's just my phone. But if I stop and answer my phone, I'm just not talking to anybody. That's why I'm doing that. So I'll make note of that if we make contact. To start us off tonight, I'd like to ask Principal of Oak Ridge High School, Mr. Martin McDonald, to come and introduce our special guest for the evening.
Good afternoon, good evening. Very excited about a brand new program that we've been able to finally get kicked off at Oak Ridge High School. For years now, we've been working tirelessly to try to bring an ROTC program into existence at the high school. And this year, we're finally able to do that. In the 75th anniversary of Oak Ridge Schools, we're able to start our Navy ROTC program. So very excited, a lot of excitement and energy at the high school about this program. We started last year with registration for it in the mid-60s, and since that time, from then to the first day of school, we're almost got 90 students in our young cadets program in our Navy ROTC. We had an outstanding commissioning ceremony a couple weekends ago where we officially recognized the program. Many of those cadets have been working service hours within our community already, even before our new instructor, Chief Nichols, was under contract with Oak Ridge Schools. His students had logged over 150 hours of volunteer service at the Secret City Festival. Yet this weekend, they presented the colors at the Smokies game. So they are hitting the ground running in a program that is healthy and going to grow every day. We're very excited about having it at the high school. And for that, and for the program this evening, we've got Chief Nichols and our color guard to present the colors for you.
If you would please join me as we honor America and pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Carry colors.
While they're transitioning back, I will say that the cost of a Navy ROTC program is not inconsequential, and the students and young cadets of the program are undergoing a fundraising campaign. We've got some newly minted Navy ROTC swag that they have available for purchase. So if you would like to buy shirts, t-shirts, shorts, visors, hats, cups, anything you can get with the Oak Ridge High School Navy ROTC logo on it, you can see any of these fine cadets.
I'm gonna have to move, aren't I?
$4,750. kids is ABS. Always be selling. Yeah. ABFR. Always be fundraising. You're not asking somebody, you're missing out on a sale.
And what we would like you to do, if you would, and ladies, if you'd one at a time step to the microphone and introduce yourself, tell us what year you are at Oak Ridge High School, and board members may have a question. So whoever wants to go first, just head that way.
My name is Nicholas Buchanan, and I'm a senior at this high school. And what else did you ask us to say?
If you'll just kind of move that way, and we'll let everybody do that, and then we'll see if any board that's great. And then we'll see if any of the board members have any questions.
My name is Alex Coons. I'm a junior at ORJS.
Thank you.
My name is Vanessa Lang, and I'm a freshman at ORJS.
My name is Donovan Tapp. I'm a sophomore at Oak Ridge.
My name is Zayden Semper, and I'm a sophomore at Oak Ridge High School.
Mr. Eby.
I have two questions. So I recognize two of the flags that you brought in. Would somebody please tell us what the other flags were part of the color guard?
I was carrying the state flag for Tennessee.
I was carrying the Navy flag.
I was carrying the United States Marine Corps flag.
I was carrying the Navy Junior flag.
I was carrying the United States flag.
Thank you. Another question I have is, so where do you see this, where do you get and find this swag?
We have little packets.
I'm sure all the board members would love to see one.
So if you're, I think they're coming this way. And on behalf of the board, we're so excited to have this program. As Dr. Borchers said, this is, and Mr. McDonald said, this is something we've probably been hoping for about the last 2 years or more. And to see it to come to fruition is just very exciting. It completes the opportunity in Key 7. For all of our students, we wish you the best, and it's good to see we've got a representation across the board from all classes, and that's great to see. So good luck to you, and we'll have you back again, and we hope to see you out at many events in the community. And
can I show one more thing?
Absolutely.
I promise this is good stuff. I was going to
Let me just say one other thing, too. Coming from the nuclear field, in which Oak Ridge is, I couldn't think of a finer ROTC than the Naval ROTC because of the conduct of operations is just so critical in the nuclear field. So I know Y-12 has been a big supporter of this, and it's because of that reason, too. Thank you.
And thank you all for being here tonight. Thank you. Next on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Do I hear a motion?
So move.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Marshall. All those in favor of approving the agenda signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next on the agenda is our good news segment. And before I start, I'd just like to remind everyone in the audience and those not in the audience who may be watching from our various schools, we'd like to have more good news than we could use in one board meeting. So please send that in to us. All you have to do is send it to Sandy in the superintendent's office, and they'll get it on the agenda for us. But we want to brag about our school district, and it really helps us to brag if you provide us with the information. So Mr. Eby will start us off with some good news.
My good news actually comes from the Oak Ridge Chamber of Commerce, who's been working, partnering with the schools to try and identify places where our students can have access to Wi-Fi. And I noticed in the chamber letter this year, this week, they were sent a note out asking all the businesses to provide Wi-Fi hotspots for our students, and I think that's great.
My good news comes from Linden. Katia Begalowski was honored as one of the brightest young students in the world at a recent awards ceremony sponsored by the Johns Hopkins Center for Talented Youth. Katia, a participant in the CTY Talent Search, was recognized for scoring exceptionally high on a rigorous above grade level test. Ms. McLean.
Okay, my good news comes from Woodland. Fourth grader Yalia Southern competed in the USA Climbing, the Sport and Speed Youth National Championships in Kennesaw, Georgia. And that's good news from Woodland.
Ms. Marshall.
Yes, my good news comes from Jefferson Middle School. Students Ian Bailey and Beatrice Shea received a second place in the student map category, and that's up to age 12, at Ezra UC 2017 Map Gallery Awards. The map is entitled Cedar Barrens and will be posted on the Ezra UC 2017 website. We also have good news from Jefferson that for the first time since 2010, Jefferson will have a fifth grade chorus for the 2017-2018 school year. So congratulations all the way around.
And that's just some of the good news that's going on in the Oak Ridge School District. Next item on the agenda is the public forum. The public forum is for anyone who would like to address a topic that is not on the agenda. You may address a topic that is on the agenda when it is presented. If you choose to address the board, you will have 3 minutes to speak. The board may or may not respond to your comments or may have the superintendent address your concerns. When you speak, please come to the podium, sign in, then state your name and address. Is there anyone who would like to address the board at this time?
Mike Mahathy, 113 Fallbury Street, Oak Ridge. No matter how many times you do this, you still get nervous. I just want to say we're into a new school year. It's going great. I still give all my thanks to the school board. Y'all doing a wonderful job. Wanted to commend Dr. Borchers when he came here. He laid out a set of goals, and one of those goals, which is near the end of the list, of the immediate goal was bringing in ROTC. So pretty much everything he set out to do, he's done. Now we're into the next phase. Above the seven keys where we're going to be successful. Congratulations. Now that's the good news. So I was talking to Miss Ago. I don't know if she joined or not, but I wanted to discuss something that probably I hadn't had a chance really to discuss with any principals or teachers. And it's around the balanced calendar. It's not the balanced calendar. We can talk about that another day. But with the balanced calendar, this year we had less than 8 weeks. And in the balance, and in that time, we have to do vacations, camps, and some people do jobs. They do those jobs to support their whole school year the next year. Some people do it to help support their family. At Oak Ridge High School, and I don't know about the middle schools now, for 50 years, we've assigned summer reading projects. Now, I'm all in favor of reading. Everybody should read something every day, no matter what. But to require a student to spend 2 to 6 weeks doing a summer reading project when we're already less than 8 weeks, to me, is not right. How many of you take a major project with you when you go on vacation? I'm not talking about little, checking your email or this. I'm talking about a major project. So, and plus, the program is discriminatory. It's geared towards people who have access to computing devices. I thank you all for getting the one-to-one devices. Those aren't assigned until they get back to school. So 10 to 20% of the students, they don't even have a computer to do them. And almost all of the assignments now require some computing. So I just want to ask you tonight, I'm not asking you to make any decisions, but it's something that I hope you will consider and talk to the staff at Oak Ridge High School. To me, I don't see the return we get from it. Families would be better off having some time to spend together. People were going to camps without having to worry about this mad dash to do a project, some of which can be very, very intense. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to take this opportunity to introduce some of our guests, since I did at the last board meeting, from Leadership Oak Ridge, the three men sitting in the back. They are joining us tonight and as part of their obligation with Leadership Oak Ridge, and they'll be with us tomorrow for lunch. But Aaron Buck from Freedom Financial Group, Rich Hazua, NSPS, and Jeremy Hodges from Enrichment Federal Credit Union. So I just wanted to introduce them tonight.
Thank you, and thank you all for being here, and thank you for taking part in this activity. And are you getting any work out of him in his involvement in here? I mean, you can be honest now. We're recording this for a national television audience and so forth. But we're pretty Miles, thank you for doing that, and thank you all again for being here and taking part in this program. Anyone else? Okay, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Marshall. All those in favor of approving the consent agenda signify by saying aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Before we get into items for action, Ms. Eagle has tried 5 times, and we just aren't making this happen for her to connect. She is in a location where the service is not real good, she said, and she had to go to a different location. She had to go to the library, actually, to try to get access. So she said this is the first meeting that she's missed in a long, long time. I said, at least she called in, so we'll give her partial credit for being here. Okay, moving on, items for action. First one is Board Policy 4.601, reporting student progress. This is a second reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of Board Policy 4.601, reporting student progress. Again, the changes are in red.
Refer the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borcher's comments?
Again, we just made this a little more general in that first sentence rather than calling out just Skyward, because we have multiple management systems now and currently at use.
Questions or comments from the board? Again, on second reading, approval of board policy 4.601, reporting student progress. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item B, board policy 2.703, audits. This is a first reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of board policy 2.703, audits. Again, the changes are in red.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Comments, Mr. Eby?
Yes, I'm glad to see you're going to put together a corrective action plan and offer the audit findings, but it says the plan shall be submitted to the Office of the Controller of the Treasury. Is that the Controller of the Treasury of the Oak Ridge Schools, of the State of Tennessee, of the United States of America? And who is that to?
That would be to the State of Tennessee.
Can we put that in there?
Sure, that's we can add it. This is just how it came as a recommended from TSBA.
I'm sorry, I'd recommend TSBA change it. I mean, you know.
But we can change it. We can add it. And we already do a corrective action plan. I mean, even though it wasn't in the policy previous.
Other comments or questions? This is first reading on board policy 3.202. I've moved down. Excuse me. First reading on board policy 2.703, audits. This is a first reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. My computer is now going crazy. Okay, moving on. Item C, board policy 3.202, emergency preparedness plan. This is also a first reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of board policy 3.202, emergency preparedness plan. The changes are in red.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Mr. Eby. Dr. Borchers.
I'll turn to Dr. Beckendorf if there's specific questions, but you can see those changes in red. There was some number changes and amount of drills, and then line 19. We learned this at TSBA this summer, armed and tutor drill in coordination with local law enforcement. And I'll point out that that does not have to have students on campus when that occurs.
Ms. McLean.
That was just what I was going to say. They discussed this at the TSBA Summer Law Institute, and students do not need to be present, nor I think should be present.
Our SROs came in last week, and they would also not like them present, so we are in agreement.
Okay, great.
Other comments or questions? On first reading, motion is to approve board policy 3.202, emergency preparedness plan. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item D, board policy 3.400, student transportation management. This is a first reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of board policy 3.400, student transportation management, and you will see a lot of red on this policy.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Mr. Eby. Dr. Borchers.
And I will turn to Karen on this one, but I think the board realizes with some of the incidents across the state last year, there was some emphasis in the last legislative session, and that's why you're seeing some changes here.
Questions from the board? Mr. Eby.
Who is our transportation supervisor?
That would be Diane Gibson.
Okay, so, I mean, it's... it's not somebody separate from the transportation. I wasn't sure if it was somebody totally independent of the transportation system, but it's
right. Okay. And the way it read, it was really a lot of the duties she already did.
Okay.
So it fit with her, and then of course it expanded on a lot of the reporting.
Okay. And she feels comfortable with meeting these deadlines that we have in there, 24 hours, 48 hours, and
our current practice supports okay. that, so yes.
Okay.
This question probably takes us down in the weeds, and I really don't need to be there, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Superintendent doesn't really appoint her, does he?
Well,
I was asking the question, was that there's somebody separate?
Yeah.
Because we contract the service.
Right.
So we would have to have another person assigned to it if we didn't have her. But if you look at the duties of the transportation supervisor, it fits what she does. And then my oversight on that department sort of fills in the gap for the district side, the connection with the district side as the designee for Dr. Borchers.
Right.
But like the component.
Okay. Is she an employee of the schools and the rest of them aren't, or is she an employee of the?
She's an employee of First Student.
Of First Student.
Okay, so I guess that was the other reason I was asking this question, is that should not the transportation supervisor be an employee of the
schools? Well, I looked through the policy and it did not specify that it had to be an employee. It just said that there was a designation requirement. And there's a lot of hands-on information that they keep now about each driver and background checks and all of the information about the buses. So there's a lot of record keeping and a lot of training, having staff development that has to do with transportation that she's already doing. So it just
we don't take on any additional liability by that not being an employee of the school systems having that designated position, do we?
I would say no, because we do have her under my umbrella of the operations and operations services, and so we work very closely with anything.
So you're the transportation supervisor.
Not really. I supervise the transportation. Yeah, I supervise. Please,
and I
no.
think, too, as I thought, and I think you and I were kind of thinking in the same plane right there a little bit.
We did too at first.
When the board approves the contract for transportation services, that approves, as in this case with First Student, mm-hmm. and then the monitoring of that contract is in your ballpark to monitor that.
Right.
And if I would think if you felt that the transportation supervisor, whomever he or she might be, was not being responsible in their duties, then the next step would be for you to come to the superintendent, who would in turn come to the board to modify her job responsibility through First Student. Is that my right?
That's right. And the same thing works with Aramark as, you know, the food service supervisor.
Right. Okay. Any other comments or questions? This is a first reading, board policy 3.400, student transportation management. All those in favor of approving on first reading signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item E, board policy 4.210, credit recovery. This is a first reading also. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of board policy 4.210, credit recovery.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second. Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McClain. Dr. Borchers.
As you can see on page 2, starting on line 12, the red there, that was a State Board of Education recommendation, so we are putting in what they have asked us to put in.
Comments or questions? Ms. Marshall.
Yeah, did the State Board provide rationale?
Not really. I mean, I think the main thing is that before it was a little inconsistent across the state about how people were incorporating their previous failing grade and their current grade. So they just said 70%. I mean, it's written as 70%. It's not even like a range or anything. So I think their rationale is just making sure that the students who participate in credit recovery do pass the class, because if you include the, I guess technically there would be a way if you include the failing grade to not pass. But I think it's just consistency.
Yeah, so just a follow-up question. So basically credit recovery becomes pass-fail, and the previous failing grade then is replaced with the 70, or is this an additional 70 that averages in as another, as an additional grade?
This is just their, this is their grade, 70. It replaces it.
Okay.
It used to be, you can see the stuff scratched out there, that they used to do kind of a calculation with their final grade, and all of that is crossed out, and then now their grade is just 70%.
Okay.
Mr. Eby.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, to me, the consistency is to assure that across the districts, the state, that, you know, somebody that has failed to come back, they're going to, you know, if they pass their credit recovery, that keeps from, you know, some districts, you know, giving a person a 95 or something, then they are competing against college applications to somebody who's passed it the first time. So that's the way I read it, the consistency.
I agree, and I think that consistency gets a little challenging when you have local context, as always, but we can work with this, and I think it's just an extension of the uniform grading policy.
Ms. McClain.
How many credit recovery teachers and facilitators do we have?
You want to take that, Martin?
Can you repeat the question?
So how many teachers do we have that teach credit recovery?
So that's an interesting question, and it's an interesting question to answer. So just keep that in mind. Because of students needing to have a 50 or above in order to qualify for grade recovery in the first place, we have grade recovery options that are available in the summer through summer school. We have grade recovery options that are also available during the school year. We have an online lab facilitator in Mr. Graham, whose primary role is to help students who are behind on credits recapture those credits during the school day. But because of the new one-to-one program, we're no longer tied to a lab. So we have the flexibility to be able to offer students a credit recovery option through a software platform that we use called Edgenuity in any class, any guided studies class that they might have. But we are trying to be judicious in that some students can be very self-directed and not need a lot of support, and that they might be more inclined to be do their credit recovery through a guided studies program, and some might need a lot more support, and then we try to run it through our ROAR program with Coach Graham. That is a very complicated question, answer to what seemingly is an easy question, though.
Other questions or comments? Thank you.
Thank you.
Motion on the floor in first reading is Board Policy 4.210, Credit Recovery. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next, item F, Board Policy 4.301, Interscholastic Athletics. This is also a first reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of Board Policy 4.301, Interscholastic Athletics.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Ms. McClain. Dr. Borchers.
You can see on starting on line 23, the new wording is, students shall not be required to attend a school athletic event or event related to participation on a school athletic team if the event is on an official school holiday, observed day of worship, or religious holiday. And the parents need to notify that that's going to happen within 3 days prior to the event.
Comments or questions? Mr. Abey.
Says they shall notify them 3 full days. What happens if they don't notify them? Does that mean that at that point in time it's not excused or what?
You know, I feel like we have been consistent in, for the most part, abusing a similar policy. We have been reasonable. So once again, we'll continue to be reasonable in these areas. So.
Motion on the floor is first reading of Board Policy 4.301, Interscholastic Athletics. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Item G is removal of Board Policy 4.402, Instructional Supplies, first reading. Dr. Borges.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend the removal of Board Policy 4.402, Instructional Supplies, per the TSBA recommendation.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Dr. Borchers, comments?
Yeah, if you see the attachment there, the review, the overview of why we're recommending this, and it's basically that last sentence. Under the new law, each teacher will individually be given the $200, and it just takes that away of how is it pooled, does a department maintain that? This goes to the individual teacher.
Comments or questions? Motion is first reading of removal of Board Policy 4.402, Instructional Supplies. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next, we also have on first reading item H, Board Policy 4.600, Grading System, first reading. Dr. Borders.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of Board Policy 4.600, Grading System.
You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Mr. Eby. Dr. Borchers.
And I am going to look to Dr. Beckendorf to explain some of this policy. Dr. Beckendorf.
The main reason for the change in this was that last year there was kind of this odd situation in which dual enrollment classes received a greater weighting. Like they were, when you had a weighted average, they had a weighted average kind of like advanced placement. But they had a grade range like just a regular class. And so they're trying to make that this a little bit more fair. So a lot of your classes, like honors classes, they get 3 extra percentage points to get an A, or advanced placement, they get 5 extra percentage points, that kind of thing. But dual enrollment didn't have that last year, so they're just, this is actually a good change in order to make that a little bit more fair. Because they're more rigorous courses, it gives kids a little bit more opportunity. So that's the main reason, I think, behind this. I mean, you'll see some other things in there, like about making sure that we're talking about the HOPE scholarship, even in elementary and middle school, and making sure that kids know about FAFSA and so forth. But I think the main purpose of this change is to fix that situation for dual enrollment.
Questions? Ms. Reby.
Yeah, I had one talking about that, talking about the HOPE scholarship. It says elementary and middle school counselors should explain the HOPE scholarship. In policy, I hate the word should. I mean, there's either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it. You know, I mean, that there's just no teeth to should.
But we just use the language from TSBA, but we're happy to change that to will if you prefer.
I would prefer that.
I agree.
Okay.
Easily done.
Not that we wouldn't, but I agree with that. Sometimes should means that's a good reason not to do it. Not that we would do that, but any other comments or questions? First reading, Board Policy 4.600, Grading System. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next, we move to item I, Board Policy 6.411, Student Wellness. This is also a first reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of Board Policy 6.411, Student Wellness.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borchers.
This policy has jumped around a lot, so I'm going to ask Mr. Lay, who's been following this the closest, I guess, to give us an update on this policy.
Well, as you can tell, the policy has become much more reasonable. We are very confident that elementary and middle school levels, we can easily be in compliance. It will still be a little bit of a chore at the high school level, but we're much closer than we were.
Questions or comments from the board?
I've got one.
Go ahead.
I don't know who in the state writes these, the TSBA writes these things, but so this one says the school principal or designee shall be responsible for overseeing the school district's compliance with the State Board of Education for sale of food items in the school district. So does that mean that Mr. Adams, as the principal of Robertsville, will be responsible for everything that's sold in, say, at Jefferson or the, you know, I mean, that's, I just wanted to make sure you guys were awake back there. No. No, I mean, you know, it's either, you know, she'll be responsible for the sale of food items in their school or somebody overall, the transportation supervisor, should be responsible for. I mean, again, that's because that is incorrect, is it?
That would make sense, and we can correct that. I will tell you, as far as selling foods in the building, we do have those conversations. We work with Aramark. We know that we cannot be selling any type of snack. Basically, outside of bottled water would be the only thing you can sell prior to lunchtime and be in compliance with basically our food program. So, but those conversations are held, but we can make that change. So.
Okay. And the other comment I had is I was glad to see, you know, this whole business on the 15 minutes and, you know, what counts as exercise or not, it looks like they're trying to straighten that out. So,
yes, we feel like it's reasonable now, and we are working towards total compliance, and once again, much closer than we have been in the past. So.
You know, I have to your comment. I think sometimes the idea that is proposed doesn't always get written like the idea is proposed, but, and whomever the writer is, which is probably a staff member there, says, here's this, you take it and put it in the right language, and probably more times than not, the person that's writing this is not a school-related person and doesn't have the concept of what's going on in a school.
But aren't we paying TSBA for this, for their policies and procedures and stuff like that?
I think TSBA is inclined to take it as it comes down to them if it is, and I say inclined to take it as it comes to them without thoroughly. I think this is a good discussion that needs to be had.
I would just let them know that, you know, they're sending these things down that got a lot of errors in them. We can give them examples.
Other comments? This is first reading, Board Policy 6.411, Student Wellness. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item J, FY18 IDA Discretionary Supplemental Funds. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the FY18 IDEA Discretionary Supplemental Funds.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Mr. Eby. Dr. Borchers.
If the board would look, I'm sure you already have, look at the attachment to this item and you'll see the two areas where the funds are being spent.
Comments or questions, Ms. McClain?
So we're spending $3,000 to purchase Ames Web stuff. And then on down in the agenda, we've authorized spending because we don't like the Ames Web stuff. So why are we buying Ames Web?
That's an excellent question. Our purchase to Ames Web has significantly decreased this year. So although we're spending some money on Ames Web, it's really declined. Because we don't like Ames Web overall as a universal screener, we still need to use Ames Web with our intervention students in order to comply with state law if we were to do identification for special education services. So we've essentially reduced Ames Web to the minimum.
So the STAR, they don't do assessments for the special ed kids?
STAR is used as a universal screener, and if I say this wrong, Kelly can come up, but STAR will be used as a universal screener, meaning that all of our kids will take STAR, all of them, all the way up through, you know, high school. And then, depending upon the results from STAR, that would indicate if it's a nationally normed exam. So let's say the child is in the lowest 25th percentile for math or reading, that would be a red flag to say, oh, maybe we need to take a look at other data that the student has and see if the student needs some additional support during the school day in reading or math. So let's say that the student is receiving additional support during the day in reading and math, and let's say that the student is not making progress. Well, there may be a situation in which the student might need to be tested for special education services. The way it works with the state regulations right now is that STAR won't work for that placement. You need to use a curriculum-based measure, of which Ames Web is one. So we need the Ames Web in order to serve our students who might need special education services, but to use Ames Web blanketly for every kid in every grade has just not been a great experience.
Other questions or comments? Motion is approval of FY18 IDA discretionary supplemental funds. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item M, addition of a 0.5 Title I paraprofessional at Linden Elementary.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the reclassification of a 0.5 Linden Science Teacher Assistant to a 1.0 Science Teacher Assistant.
Well, I skipped right over that, didn't I? Can I throw this computer? I know it's not me. Could I just throw it out there? It can't possibly be me creating this problem. It's the weather. I know it's the weather. I did? I need to look at this computer and not at this one. So let's just disregard everything I said, okay? So we'll go to K, Linden Science Teacher Assistant Reclassification.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the reclassification of a 0.5 Linden Science Teacher Assistant to a 1.0 Science Teacher Assistant.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McClain. Dr. Borchers.
I'm sure the board has seen this item and the following item are recommendations based on adjusting staff for students' needs at Linden, and this new allocation does not require any funds for this item or the next item. Just a reclassification of what our students need over at Linden.
Comments or questions? Motion is to approve the Linden Science Teacher Assistant reclassification. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Yeah,
that's right. I'll see.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Yeah. Moving on to item L, Linden Technology Teacher Assistant Reclassification. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the reclassification of a 1.0 Linden Technology Teacher Assistant to a 0.5 Technology Teacher Assistant position.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borchers.
Again, just a reclassification and no change in the total allocation or there, and there's no need for additional funds.
Comments, questions? Motion is to approve the Linden Technology Teacher Assistant reclassification. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to item M, addition of a 0.5 Title I paraprofessional at Linden Elementary. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of an additional 0.5 Title I paraprofessional at Linden Elementary.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borchers.
I'm sure the board has looked at it, but Dr. Williams has submitted a recommendation summary of why we're doing this, and I support that recommendation.
Comments or questions, Mr. Eby?
Does this come out of Title I funds then?
Yes, yes.
Motion is approval of a 0.5 Title I paraprofessional at Linden Elementary. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item N, Anderson County Head Start contract. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the contract between Anderson County Head Start and the Oak Ridge Schools Board of Education.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Dr. Borchers.
As in years past, we made the venture up to Anderson County, the chairman included, to have a discussion with Anderson County and sign the document that you have before you.
Comments or questions? I would just add, after we hit kind of a bump in the road, we've come a long ways, and I appreciate the effort of Mr. Lay and Dr. Borchers and others for getting us turned around and getting us on, I feel like, solid footing. I think it's a lot better to attend these gatherings of both Anderson County and Oak Ridge when it's much more amicable within the meeting and we seem to be working toward the same goals. And so I think that's very, very good that we're there at that point. Still a little ways, a little tweaking yet to go, but we'll get there too. Mr. Eby?
Yeah, that's sort of where my question was going to come from, is that are we further down the path with regard to having, I think, our responsibilities or more responsibility, or are we still pretty dependent upon?
You know, first of all, I'll just brag on Mrs. Downer. She's done an excellent job. Her leadership, it's just paying off. I mean, we can see we're going the right direction. There was a lot of work that needed to take place, and we are making improvements. We've had some just honest discussions. We realize we're not where we want to be. There's some areas as far as monitoring we need to make improvement. So the ball is sort of in our court when you ask that question. If we make sure we are in total compliance, we're following all rules and regulations, then basically the level of monitoring that Anderson County is requiring will diminish, okay? Now, there's so much that is required by Head Start, it will never go away, but as Mr. Fellauer said, our relationship is good with Anderson County, but we have a few areas we need to improve, and that basically, those are our goals for this year, and I'm confident those will take place. Some of it just requires us to do a better job of self-monitoring before we have outside monitors walk in the building. There's things we can easily correct. We're actually staffed at a higher level this year. If you remember, we were very slow basically getting assistant in here for Mrs. Downer last year. So by having that person in place, we'll take a lot off of her as far as that monitoring what needs to take place. So I feel very confident we're in a good place, and next year we'll see once again the required monitoring will be less than what it is this year.
And I would add to that, would be amiss by not saying that a lot of where we are goes to what you have done in pulling a lot of things that were out here into the right location, so to speak. And we do have some ways to go. I don't know that I could, and I'm not sure anybody does, to be honest, understands the real initial relationship between Anderson County and Oak Ridge and how that began and how we got to where we are. I don't know if anybody does. And kind of to your question, I don't know, and it may, you never say never, the day would ever come where we're the sole proprietor, so to speak, of this program.
Head Start will only basically send the money to one school system. So it's not like if we did everything perfectly, it would come to us and not go through Anderson County. And according to what I learned in a meeting some years ago and before most of our time here in Oak Ridge, basically they made the change where the money would come to one school system. It's almost like they tossed a coin and Anderson County said, okay, I'll take the money and send it to you. So there really wasn't a rhyme or reason why it happened, but that's the way it will continue. So,
and I think too, and there may be some times that I may not have known about, but I believe this is the first time, if not ever, but in a long time, where we've actually had a sit down where the representative from the Head Start program out of Atlanta was in attendance, to my knowledge.
At least in my 2 years, that would be correct, yes.
Okay. The motion is approval of the Anderson County Head Start contract. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item O, formal approval of emergency purchase of STAR assessments from Renaissance Learning. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend the approval of the emergency purchase of STAR assessments from Renaissance Learning. You can see the attached explanation detailing the circumstances for that emergency purchase.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Motion was made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Mr. Eby. Dr. Borchers.
As I just mentioned, the board did see this email and the reasoning, but we think it's always important when we do have to make an emergency purchase that we put it back on the very next agenda, and that's why you're seeing it here tonight.
Questions or comments? All those in favor of formal approval of the emergency purchase of the STAR assessments from Renaissance Learning signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item Q, Home Depot blanket
P.
Why does it? See, maybe I need to go back and learn my alphabet. But if you could, well, I won't even go there. Item P, addition of a 1.0 special education teacher assistant position. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of a 1.0 special education teacher assistant.
You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Dr. Borchers.
You can see the rationale that was attached here due to our enrollment and being able to get a one-year grant. We were able to suggest and recommend this new position.
Comments or questions, Mr. Eby?
So what happens 1 year from now? Do we reapply for that grant, or is this going to be something that we're going to add on, or is this just a one-year activity?
Miles, you want to help answer that? Maybe you have it, Mr. Lee.
This is the first time, I believe, special education has ever gotten this grant, and so this was one of the things that I came to this district to do, was to seek money from the state, and so we got it, and yes, we can apply every year for this. So this was attached to the reading program that went along with it at Robertsville, and then we also have some of it at Jefferson, so we will be applying for more people, more resources each year, and more money.
I would like to brag on Mr. Hebrard. If I'm not mistaken, the discretionary or supplemental discretionary funds or that grant in this grant, this is the first year that we basically benefited by those two grants. So he is being proactive in seeking additional dollars so we can better serve our students.
Other comments or questions? Motion is to approve a 1.0 special education teacher assistant. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Now item Q, Home Depot blanket purchase order. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of a blanket purchase order to Home Depot in the amount of $50,000 for annual FY18 incidental purchases. You can see the attached for more supporting details.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Mr. Eby. Dr. Borchers.
I know the board has seen something very similar to this on an annual basis, and this works well for Mr. Thacker and his staff.
Questions or comments from the board? Motion is to approve the Home Depot blanket purchase order. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item is item R, FY18 non-resident tuition rates. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the FY18 tuition rates.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Mr. Eby. Dr. Borchers.
As you can see the attachment from Ms. Gagliano, we have the rates there and also some enrollment history for the board.
Comments or questions?
I thought last year at this time when we did this, we said that when we came back a year from now, we would talk about there's something we should be doing differently. I mean, the numbers that we're having are going down every year. This one's, dropped from 81 to 63. And I still struggle on, whether I support some kind of a lower rate than a full rate. But is that something that we could at least look at to see if there's an optimum where, we get more funds with maybe cutting the difference in half or something? I don't know. I think we need to talk about this.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, as we look at trying to get a date for a retreat, we had some preliminary discussion at one of our last retreat, I guess, in regard to the overall tuition rates, particularly regarding staff, and we gathered information on that. We gathered information and we haven't come back to have a discussion on that information. And I think this certainly ties in with taking a look at what we could do that would benefit us. I don't know, Karen.
I was just going to say that the formula for calculating this is, as you know, embedded in board policy. And I think, you have the ability to change it however you wish. Historically, I believe the reason, I inherited it too when I came here, that it appears to be really complicated, but I think it's because of the complication of the multiple counties that support Oak Ridge. So I think it's an attempt at fairness because the rates fluctuate based on the amount of revenue we get from that county. And so I think that whoever developed it originally was attempting to do that.
Now, I understand how the thing was developed back in the 80s. I was a strong proponent that, when this came up, that we not change it, that, we recover full rates from the city, from the county residents, and if they're out of the county residents. At that point in time, our population was heavy. We had great demand. But things change, and I understand the calculations. It's really not that difficult once you know the rates, et cetera. But what I, times change, and would we be better? And I don't know the answer to that at this point in time. But I think it would be worth having the conversation. Would we be better if we lowered the rates to Anderson and Roane County by some fraction or something like that to encourage more students, or not? I don't. You know, I think we ought to have that conversation. Maybe the retreat's a good place to have that.
So, and let's go ahead, if you would, in your notes, make note of that and go ahead and whatever, I guess we need again to take a look at our various other school districts again and what they do and what they charge. And when we've done that, but get an update, fresh look at that and see. I think that's a worthwhile discussion. Okay, the motion on the floor is to approve the FY18 tuition rates. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next, under items for information, sick leave bank board of trustees. Dr. Borcher's comments on that?
You can just see there that we have had some people join us. Kim Brinkman re-upped for another term on the attachment, and then we have a new person join us, Joe Bruce, not new to any of us in the district, but new to this committee. So Joe Bruce will be taking up a term with the sick leave bank as well.
Comments or questions? I might just mention here, before the end of last school year, there was a meeting that took place with those who are members of the sick leave bank, getting a feel of where we were in the sick leave bank, the process, just making sure everyone that is a member is aware of what their responsibilities are and what happens if the number of participants dips down to a certain level and the number of days available for people to use dips down, what we can do. And we had a meeting, the Board of Trustees had a meeting taking a look at maybe some revisions of the policies within the sick leave bank, found that there were stumbling blocks along the way to what we thought we might could do, stumbling blocks from state policy and legalities that we're informed of. The membership, just to be honest, is very, looking at a total staff, is low. And that's a concern that we have, that if the membership doesn't support it, then the value of having those days is not going to be there based on why it was established. And again, we have to make sure that we don't have one or two people overusing those days and pulling them out. So I think we've got a pretty good handle on it, the best we can, with the membership that we have. Okay, item B, Eclipse update. Dr. Borchers or Mr. Lay?
Actually, I'll turn it, well, probably Mr. Lay and Dr. Beckendorf together.
We are pinch hitting on this. Do you want to see you sort of a summary of what's happening, or would you like to ask questions first? Okay. We'll tell you up front, this has been a long process. We actually made some headway today and actually have confirmed what the level of participation will be. But on August the 21st, we will start school at the regular time, and our thinking was we did not want to inconvenience our parents by causing them to be late to work or make changes in their day. So we will start our school day at the normal time. We will extend the day by 1 hour. That is in the elementary and the secondary schools. Our preschool, because of the age of our students, and also it's a transportation concern. It frees up a lot of buses because you have a bus driver driving the bus plus another bus driver that serves as a TA on the bus. It really created a transportation challenge not to have them be an early dismissal. So our preschool on that day will be on a Wednesday schedule as far as dismissal. But the preschool staff will be going to Linden Elementary to observe the eclipse, and they will be sending an invitation to their parents to bring their children to Linden to observe the eclipse. So we have that going on. Basically, we will be leaving our three campuses that are outside of the viewing area, which would be Glenwood, Woodland, and Jefferson. They will be leaving their campus at approximately 1:20 that day, and we will have them on site by 1:45. Jefferson will be going to Robertsville, Woodland will be going to the Boys and Girls Club, and Glenwood will be going to Turtle Park. The only other change in that will be our Secret City Academy They're going to the K-25 Welcome Center there, the pavilion on the left of the road before you get to the bridge, and I think that may be the proper name of that place. But those are the groups that will be moving. And so basically from 1:45 until 3 o'clock, they will be participating in observing the eclipse. At 3 o'clock, we will transport our schools that were on another location back to their campuses. And basically, school has been extended by 1 hour. We will continue the same order of transportation home. So starting basically at 3:45 instead of 2:45, we will transport middle school students home at 3:06 or 3:08. I'm sorry, at 4:06 or 4:08, the high school will be transported, followed by the elementary schools at 4:30. So that's basically the logistics of the organization of the day, and we're still working with transportation to finalize. We will need to use some subcontractors for transportation to make this work.
I noticed, having done field trips in my other lifetime and knowing our policy for what we do with field trips, and you mentioned in here the need for permission slips to be filled out. I know the difficulty sometimes of getting those permission slips. What happens if we don't?
If we have students that do not provide a parent permission slip, they will just basically remain at the school. It's my understanding we do have a few staff members that prefer not to view the eclipse, so I would assume principals would assign some of those individuals to stay behind for those students. We've also communicated the importance, and I say we've communicated, between now and tomorrow afternoon, we will be sending out information to principals. They'll have the opportunity to make additions or edits to our document to send to their staff, but we are stressing the importance of working with students to communicate the importance of wearing proper eye care during the viewing. So we will continue to work to educate our students and have them prepared for that. But we will prepare a place for students who do not have permission slips to stay at their home schools.
Ms. McLean.
I know that this has been a huge task, and I really appreciate all the work that you all are doing, because this is such a neat opportunity. And I'm so proud of our schools for not wimping out and taking a sick day or a bad weather day. I think this is a great opportunity, and I commend you for all your efforts. I know it's not going to be easy.
And thank you, and I'll just brag on the principals. I mean, you know, they've had a tough job the last week and a half. Actually, I guess 2 weeks now, but that first day back when the gentleman spoke of the eclipse, it created a lot of excitement. But the principal had a lot of work, and there are people concerned about liability, which makes sense. But once again, with our staff and having, you know, we still have almost 2 weeks to educate our students, prepare them, and of course we have the proper eyewear. So we feel like we will be in good shape, and it has been, once again, today was the day that we probably saw some headway, and we feel like we're going to be okay. Okay, we're getting there. So,
Ms. Marshall.
So two things. I know that Jefferson Woodland and Glenwood are outside the totality zone, but they actually will. Students who have to remain at school for some reason could still view the partial, right? So that's an option. But secondly, are we working with local law enforcement just to make sure that our sites, I don't know what you call destination sites for the traveling schools, are secured, and because it's an unusual circumstance?
Chief Akagi spoke to me about a week ago, and he is expecting that we will have a fair amount of visitors in our city, and he wants to discuss basically what the schools are doing. But until today, this is the closest we have been to finalizing our plan. So tomorrow, Wednesday, I will get with him and say, this is the plan, this is what we're doing. And he's always good to at least provide a stronger presence, make sure that we change the routes of our patrolmen to make sure they're in our area. We had one school ask specifically to have a person on site the entire day, and he told me he could not designate a patrolman to be on a site the entire day, but he said at the same time he would be working with us and would increase patrols. So.
Yeah, I think what she was meaning is, let's say a student stays on site and doesn't travel, if they had the eclipse permission form, I think what Ms. Marshall was saying is that the partial eclipse hits every area of the town. The totality is only on the west side of the town. But you're right, we can't have students viewing the partial eclipse if they don't have permission from their parents.
Well, and I guess, is that okay? Sorry, I'm out of order. My apologies. But that would mean that you're actually, the permission slip needs to be written for two things, right? So you have permission to travel and permission to view. So because those wouldn't be an all-inclusive from a legal standpoint. So like when the permission slip comes home, shouldn't there be two different things you're giving permission for?
That's correct, it depending on if you're traveling or not. So if you are at Willowbrook, you just need to have signed the permission slip for the eclipse itself. But if you're at Woodland, you need to be able to have the eclipse and you need the field trip.
Mr. Eby.
Yes, I too am glad that the schools are doing it, but I do am concerned about some of these liabilities. And the permission slip, I would hope, would be very clear in saying that the parents and the students take the responsibility. If a child looks, you know, and doesn't use the proprietary glasses or something like that, because it doesn't take long before you can burn, you know, your eye. And that gives me concern.
Our lawyer actually drafted the eclipse permission slip.
Perfect.
So it's pretty
good.
Solid.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. And then, you know, they are going to be outside for a long period. I mean, you got 700 kids or something coming from Jefferson to Robertsville, which is going to be, you know, a lot of people moving around. Can you handle from just a restroom facility standpoint? Are there, you know, people going to be able to go inside and out, or how, what's the plan there?
I actually spoke with Mr. Adams today, and you can correct me, Mr. Adams, if I'm incorrect. It was more of a concern as far as supervision, because you have students going to and from the building. It's not really the number of restrooms. So once again, I'll be having conversations with Mr. Adams and Mr. Cox, and we'll make sure we get that covered. So.
And again, I think working with Chief Coggy, maybe you can't have somebody there all the time, but just from the movement and the sheer numbers that you're going to have at each facility, you know, it could, you know, provide an opportunity for somebody to do something from the outside coming in. So I would just, you know, be very careful. Right. From that standpoint.
And I won't speak for Chief Akagi, but if you were out and about the first week of school between Robertsville and Willowbrook and Linden and Turtle Park and the Boys Club, I feel confident you will see more police cars and patrolmen than you would expect to see. I mean, you know, I was going from school to school, and it was like every time I turned around, there was a police car. So he's very good about making his presence known and beefing up patrol. But once again, we'll have those conversations too.
And then the last question I have is, if it does turn out, hopefully it will be a bright sunny day, at least all but 2 minutes and 33 seconds or whatever it is, and those children are outside, is there any plan to hydrate them or provide water?
Yes, actually, we started talking to Aramac today about getting water and snacks and things like that. So we're intending to provide that for students. Good.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
And to go with they'll be outside approximately an hour and 15 minutes. And if you look at average gym period, you know, that's 40, 45 minutes. So for the most part, they're conditioned. So, and I was fearful you were going to mention rain, because after the Oak Ridge High School graduation, I thought, please, Mr. Eby, don't go there. So.
Okay, items for discussion, dates for a board retreat. Each of you compiled a document stating preferences. There were four dates: October 25th, November 10th, November 15th, and November 17th. November 10th was completely out. It was not even really an option. On October On October 25th, we had four that could be there. On November 15th, we had four that could be there. And on November 17th, we had four that could be there. And of the one that could not be there, in each case, it was different. So I need, Lynn and I need some direction from the board. Do you want to go back and look? We want to get this done. When we didn't take any dates in December, hoping we could get it finished before winter break. Two things that are coming up that we'll have to do and or get started. One would be the board self-evaluation that we'll have to get started. And obviously, the retreat date doesn't focus on that, but if we could get it done prior to having a retreat, we could have some discussion. And then sometime in December, we would do the superintendent's evaluation. We could have a chance to discuss that process as well. So do you want me to start all over with dates? Do you think it's possible we can find one when all five of us can be there? I just need some direction from the board. Does anybody have any direction that they'd like to give me?
How does the week of the 18th of September look for people?
In general, September is not great.
Okay. How about the week of the 9th of October?
Yeah, let's just do this. Okay. I'll come up with another, I guess we need to do it this way. I'll come up with another set of four dates and send them to you. If we can't get all five of us of any of those four, we may just have to pick and go.
Seems to me that instead of you coming up with four dates, you have no clue other than that you would be available for the four.
Well, that's all that counts.
Is,
so that's,
is if we sent...
That's, let's do that.
If we sent Lynn dates that were available, and maybe she can look and see if there's one that all five of us are available.
Would that be, would you, that work? Let's do this. I'll make it easier. Send it to me. Send me the dates that you would be available starting in October. Okay? Send me the dates. I'll compile those and send them to Lynn, and then she can send out the doodle. How's that? There's probably no simple way to do this. It's probably an easy task, but we're probably making it difficult. But well, if you'll just send me the dates, we'll go from there. And if you could do that by the end of this week or as soon as possible, that would be great. Okay. Old business. Ms. McClain.
Wondered what the status of the preschool is. I think that's old business.
Yes, we had a great meeting last week with the architects and with Lisa and members of her staff. So we're actually talking about what the inside of the classroom would look like and design and things like that. So we are making some good headway there. I believe there's something on the council's agenda next week, but don't quote me on that. But no, it's moving ahead, and we were very grateful to have those conversations with the architects. It was a good meeting.
So no date for the golden shovels?
They have a potential schedule. We're about 2 years out, but I can get what they tentatively have. Well, that's right. That's right. So we'll that's moving in 2 years. So, but no, I think they need to get some things together with the architect, some more contract between architect and city before they can give us a final, okay, here's when we're moving forward. But we had great discussions, good discussions.
New business, I'll put this under new business. I know each one of you received a copy of the enrollment comparison to 2016-17 versus 2017-18. It's early yet. Comments, Dr. Borchers or Mr. Lay, that either of you would like to make, or questions from the board?
I would just caution you. I mean, you know, we could have some withdrawals, but if you look at the numbers we have, basically, we're above our projection. We ended the year last year, or this time last year, we had 4,421. We actually ended the year with 4,409 students. And as of today, we're at 4,463. So that's a plus 42, and you can see the majority of the increase is at the high school. Martin started calling me a week or so ago concerned about numbers, and I kept saying, well, you know, we'll have withdrawals, but we are into it a week, and perhaps those withdrawals are not going to be reality, which is great. But we are up, which is very positive for us to be up. So we're encouraged by this.
Questions from the board? I may miss someone here. If I do, please speak up and let me know. Even though he's been here, we welcome him in a new position, Mr. D.T. Hobby, who's now principal at Woodland, and got things going strong there, I'm sure. We appreciate you, your willingness to take that position, and know good things will happen at that school. And Mr. Adams, I'm going to give you another task. If you would introduce our newest administrator to attend one of these meetings, your new vice principal, if you would do that and tell me, though, and go ahead and make the comments you told me you were going to make about her.
I'll say that for later. This is Dr. Tanya Childress. She came to us from Arden Valley. She's been a great addition to our school, and we are absolutely pleased to have her.
And I would just add to that, I knew Dr. Childress when she was Miss Vandergriff back in the day when my son was a participant in TSA, and knowing of her work ethic and her dedication to young people and dedication, we're very lucky to have you here and appreciate it. Would mention that on August the 21st, the students from Nakashi will be here, and there'll be a reception here. Is that correct? At 5:30 on that evening, so it'll be a full day. Focus on Education is starting, so I'm going to give you some dates. I've already jumped in and taken the first one, August 16th. So here are the dates, and you all can ponder those and look. And Dave said these are not actually cast in stone, but they're real close. Since he's got another commitment with volleyball that's underway. Matches started already?
Tuesday.
A week from tomorrow. So here are the dates: September the 6th, October 18th, November 1st, and December 6th. September 6th, October 18th, November 1st, and December 6th. If you'd like to pick one of those, let me know, first come, first serve. And if none of those work for you, then we'll communicate with Dave, and we'll go from there. Finally, I'll just mention, but I don't want you to be surprised, you may or may not, after I ran for re-election, I decided it, if elected, which obviously I was, that it was time for me to get motivated and prepare for level 5 for TSBA. The only thing that I have left to do is the portfolio, which I have completed. It has been sent to TSBA. Part of what they will do now is contact the superintendent and contact board members. I don't know how they will do that or what they will send to you, but if you get something that's preparing you, that could happen. So any other information? Thank each of you for being here, and we are adjourned.
I can take any of those dates besides September 6th.